about to listen to the Dr. Dahlia Show. Sassy, stimulating medical talk radio. Any medical advice Dr. Dahlia Wax gives on her show should not be substituted for an actual visit to your medical provider. And now, here's Dr. Dahlia.
Doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
All right, guys, we are back on the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DAHLIA, 1-877-DOCDALI. Well, about 20 years ago, or 20 hours ago, we were horrified by the news of the twin bombings that occurred in Boston. It was extremely frightening, and you know, knowing you know what happens in these types of incidences, you knew that the initial numbers were a severe underestimation of what could have possibly been the casualty list. What we're going to do today is many of you had called me and emailed saying you'd like to, when the show comes on the next day, tell us what you saw or what your family member went through. Of course, please. Our number is 1-877-DOC-DAHLIA, 1-877-DOCDALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. One of you wanted us to call you to put you on the show. Your number wasn't included. I couldn't call you and set you up beforehand. So, of course, we're here to listen to any witness accounts that you have. From what we understand, the investigation is going to be ongoing for days. We've been pretty suspicious of what's been going on in terms of the information that we've been given. At first, the government had not wanted to admit this was an act of terror, even though the rest of us was kind of looking at this as, okay, you got two bombs in a row and then possibly a bomb at JFK Library. I guess Duke University had to be evacuated. There was a bomb threat at the Student Center. So, you know, just like what happened with 9/11, you know, your first thought, you know, there was an accident, and then you realize, no, we're being attacked. And so, as far as I'm concerned, this was a terrorist attack. Absolutely. Now, who's responsible for it? They may not let us know until hours after they know. I guess a Saudi national, a student on a visa, was, I guess, considered a person of interest at the hospital. He had been burned. They thought he had been acting suspicious, and news of that leaked out. And so all over the social media, CBS News, everybody was discussing how a Saudi national is being questioned, not arrested, but being questioned. Of course, the government is not going to make any definitive remarks about who they think are responsible, because one, they need to know for sure. But two, even if they do know for sure, they may want a cooling down period from us. I mean, you know, think about it. You know, 20 hours ago when we heard that this happened, we wanted, or was it maybe about 18 hours ago? I mean, we wanted blood. I mean, when we heard this happen, I mean, everybody froze in my office going, all right, who did this? And I mean, you know, where's my gun? I mean, we were mad. You know, I wasn't worried about being bombed or anything like that in my particular area. I was thinking, okay, I want to get these guys. I mean, my gosh, it's the Boston Marathon, for crying out loud. Innocent bystanders, kids, you know, our grandparents, aunts, uncles sitting out there watching and, innocently, you know, watching, you know, phenomenal event. I think the Boston Marathon and many of our marathons, they're just phenomenal to be there and watch and support. So for somebody to think that that is an opportunity for them to kill a bunch of people, Americans, etc., whoever this is or they are, they better fry. But after a couple days, all right, even though we're all ticked, there's that cool down period. So my guess is the government isn't going to, you know, tell us who's responsible until there's that little bit of a cool down period. Yeah, we're still going to be mad, but it's not going to be like the way we were just, you know, as we were watching this unsettle. It does. It takes time to process. It does. I mean, you could grieve. You could be upset. But there's a big difference between, you know, 0.0 and 48 hours, which to me is frustrating because I think they do have an idea. I do. President Obama just got on the news saying we have no idea. Really? You guys have no idea? Honestly? Okay, with our satellite imagery, all the cameras, really, no idea. All right, but then on the other hand, you know, from a from a defense strategy, okay, if we had day one said, all right, we know who did this, okay, it was country A who did this or country W, we know who did this, well, country W would already be probably planning its defense or planning another preemptive attack to defend itself. So I can understand why the government may want to have this facade of we don't know what's going on yet, so that whatever country was responsible for this, they could just kind of sit there and bite their nails and watch. All right, I'm telling you, either if we don't know what's going on, I raise an eyebrow to that, and if we do know what's going on, I sure as hell hope that we are planning our plan of attack. I sure as hell hope we are, unless, of course, you know, Obama wants to talk to Congress about gun control instead. Okay, you know, maybe that's what's on his agenda this week, and so we need to wait. Okay, before we could, you know, take revenge for this. I know people say, oh, you don't take revenge for this. Oh, no, 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 no. I mean, you killed innocent people. You, I mean, there's, I think the casualty count is now up to 180, all right, and rising. Oh, no, 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 no. Somebody better pay for this one. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about on this show, how do these ERs handle, you know, when you get these mass a flood of people coming in, how do they handle it? Massachusetts General, et cetera. And might I add, the EMS workers and the marathon runners and the bystanders, what a phenomenal job these guys did. You could see the footage of people taking off their shirts and using belts and trying to stop the bleeding. We're also going to review what to do if you're in this type of situation where you do have somebody next to you just to lose a limb, have a traumatic amputation, how to, you know, do whatever life-saving measures you can do for that person. Because as you can see, you never know when something like this hits. You never know, and you need to be ready. But, you know, seeing what our first responders did, and you saw the military there, you saw the police, you saw ambulances, and you saw the marathon runners who were exhausted after running 26 miles were able to go and jump in. It was a horrific, horrific scene, but phenomenal to see what we as humans can do and pull together in light of a tragedy. I know some of you wanted to call in and tell us what you see or what your family members have witnessed. Of course, we're open today. We want to hear anything you guys have, any information you have. Please call in 1-877-DOCDALI, 1-877-DOCDALI, 1-877-362.
Since disaster can strike at any time, you always need to be prepared. And not just with an insurance policy. Superstorm Sandy left thousands of people starving and stranded for weeks. You need to be prepared with an emergency supply of food. Now through April 30th, save up to 25% on freeze-dried food. During the freeze-dry guy mix and match number 10 can sale. Freeze-dried food packed in heavy-duty double enameled number 10 cans. With over 99% of the oxygen removed, it has the longest shelf life of any food available. Over 25 years. Choose from entrees, meats, vegetables, fruits, and desserts. All made in the U.S. Say, just add hot water, wait 10 minutes, and serve. And it tastes absolutely delicious. Free shipping to 48 states. Now through April 30th, save up to 25%. Visit freezedryguy.com. Freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. 866-404-3663. Act today. Don't miss out.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
What do you do when your propane runs out and you don't have a large amount of wood for cooking? That's when you need a Grover Rocket Stove from StockStorage.com. The Grover Rocket Stove starts easily with any combustible material, like junk mail, small twigs, leaves, weeds, or dry sagebrush. Then just add a small amount of kindling wood, and you'll be cooking entire meals in minutes. Grover Rocket Stoves are made right here in the USA, and are built to last a lifetime, using heavy-duty, thick-gauge steel, and are painted with high-temp paint to withstand heat. Go to StockStorage.com and see three great Grover Rocket Stoves, stainless steel, heavy duty, or our original Grover Rocket Stove for only $135. And get free shipping to the lower 48. For phone orders, call 801-361-6984 or go to StockStorage.com. That's 801-361-6984 or StockStorage.com. The original Grover Rocket Stove minimal wood use cooking stoves, available exclusively from StockStorage.com.
Attention gardeners, it's that time of year again, and with food prices rising, there's never been a better time to take control of your own food supply by planting a backyard garden and growing your own nutritionally dense vegetables. Hi, I'm Brian Brody with Heirloom Solutions here in Thompson, Illinois, with a very special offer for you to kick off the 2013 gardening season. Right now, simply request our beautiful new seed catalog. Pay just $2 to help cover some of the postage costs. When you do, three things are going to happen right away. Number one, within 24 hours, your heirloom seed catalog will be sent. Number two, we're going to deposit $20 in your Heirloom Solutions account. Number three, you'll also receive three hard-hitting reports valued at $75. Our cash garden report, our food shock report, and our diatomaceous earth report. Go to the website right now, freeheirloomseeds.com. Get $20 in free seeds. Go to freeheirloomseeds.com.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. Life Straw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. Life Straw is easy to clean, comes with a one-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing Life Straw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Seed Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tattler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com, for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
Hey guys, we are back on the Dr. Dahlia Show. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-362-3254. So, you know, bits and pieces are coming in as we're hearing from the hospitals and what the doctors are seeing at the hospital and from witnesses there and family members of witnesses. Of course, cell phone use had been off for hours because they were concerned about remote detonation by cell phones. So many of the stories are now being coming in and being processed, etc. But, you know, the Massachusetts doctor said these marathon victims had metal pieces and wounds, like a variety of different sharp objects. People are wondering, what were these bombs made of? What was being used? And it sounds like these were some homemade, makeshift type bombs that were done. They were interviewing Fox News and CNN, you know, what type of these bombs are reminiscent of what type of other terrorist attacks, whether it was Madrid or London, etc. And, you know, one source did confirm that these types of makeshift bombs have been done in the Middle East. Not that that's signifying that somebody in the Middle East was responsible for this, but, you know, from what we know and from what we're seeing, you know, like the white smoke from the bomb, all right, you know, when we saw one of the explosions, it was a lot of white smoke, not dark smoke, very white smoke, maybe powdery type. And so, you know, while we're waiting for the government to, you know, tell us what's going on, and, you know, I understand Obama's press conference had to be extremely light, or his statement today had to be extremely light and elusive, you know, saying we'll get to the bottom of this, etc. Didn't give us any information. But you wonder, you know, with that smoke, was there any other chemical, were there chemical aspects to these bombs? Were there any other inhalants we need to look at? But right now, it looks like the majority of the, if not all of the injuries were blast related. Blast from, in terms of fire, blast from, in terms of the heavy pressure that was put on people's extremities, the lower extremities, for those who were standing. And then, of course, the variety of sharp objects. Some of the doctors have described nails, some pellets, ball bearings, little BBs. Dr. George Velmejos said Tuesday he believes the metal fragments came from the bomb, not from the environment. Investigators have refused to give any specifics about the makeup of the bombs. Of course, because that could probably give insight as to who did this, and I think they're going to want to keep this quiet from us. I think they're going to know long before we know. If not, they already know now. You know, one of you asked about the difference between the environment and what's in the bomb? What are they discussing? Well, you know, like if let's say a bomb went off in a building and you had the glass and you had the wood splinters, etc. Most of this appears to be, most of the foreign bodies appear to be the metallic fragments used in these makeshift type bombs that we're assuming were makeshift bombs. And so if that's the case, these weren't in the buildings, these were outside. All right. And if the environment was mostly the concrete sidewalk, there looked like one area that was actually under construction where people might have been standing, then most of the injuries would just probably have what you saw from the bomb as opposed to stuff coming from a building that blew up. Yeah, there was glass shattering. There was, you know, buildings damaged. But most of the foreign bodies placed were these metal pieces. Dr. Stephen Epstein from the Emergency Medicine Department of Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center, since he saw on X-ray of one of the victim's legs what appeared to be small, uniform, round objects through it, similar to BBs. These are rough to take out. I mean, it's time consuming. In fact, you know, some of these patients are still at risk for amputation. You know, when you have the patients who get the amputation immediately, those are ones who lost the limb, and now they need to close up the vessels. They need to salvage whatever they can of the leg. They need to clean it out because obviously infection can ensue. And those people who have already received their amputations were the ones yesterday. The ones who received their amputations yesterday were obviously the ones where they were losing limbs or part of the limbs. All right. Sometimes, you know, you'll see this with diabetics. Their foot became had a diabetic ulcer. The infection went into the bone. And then, you know, they had a below-the-knee amputation or above-the-knee amputation. And some people are like, well, why if the infection was in the foot? Well, if they think the infection already spread up into the bone, they're going to want to salvage whatever healthy piece there is. When we talked about Civil War amputations from these little mini balls that would once shot into a bone cause you know, a compound fracture doesn't even explain it. I mean, a shattering of the bone and the bone fragments. They're going to need to go up to the part of the bone that is stable. You don't want to have splintering. They're going to have to go up to the part of the bone that's stable, and many times what they'll do is they'll go up to the point where they could find the joint, an area for a joint where they could add the prosthesis. So the immediate amputations had to be done, and those were the ones that were initially done as this unfolded yesterday. Then you heard the doctors describe how over the next few days, some of these people are going to have multiple surgeries. And some of you are like, okay, well, why didn't they just do it the first time? Well, keep in mind, right now these hospitals are at capacity, if not even more. So whoever the trauma surgeons immediately worked on were the ones who they believe they could, you know, save. All right, and whatever they could do to save. So if you had somebody who had a traumatic amputation and they had to tie off the vessels, flap over the skin, do what they needed to do to prepare, clean out the wound, start on antibiotics, etc. If there was shrapnel and BBs and other things that need to be removed, they're going to put that off for another surgery. Okay? They're going to do what needs to be done and then, boom, move on to the next person that needed a possible amputation or life-saving surgery. So, not everything is going to get done. Now, if everything can get done, okay, and other pieces that are there, they can go ahead and, you know, fix. But if they're on, you know, if the scene is what we believe the scene was, no, they're going to do what has to be done emergently. They're going to wake you up out of anesthesia, probably keep you sedated enough so you don't feel the pain, watch you, make sure you're stable, and then the less critical surgeries can be done and put off another day. So far, they say Massachusetts General treated 31 victims of the bombs. The hospital did perform 4 amputations, and at least 2 more patients have legs that are still at risk of amputation. So some of you had asked, okay, so where are we at? How do you know the leg's going to get amputated or not? Now, you do have some injuries where, like, for example, we had a gentleman in Lake Havasu. He had been one of the workers preparing for the 4th of July festivities, and I guess there was a little bit of gunpowder on the sidewalk. So he swept it away with his foot to clear the sidewalk. You know how you see some dirt or sand on the sidewalk? He sweeps it away with his foot, blows off his toes. So all his toes were blown off by a foot. Again, we called trauma surgeon to come in. We didn't have a trauma surgeon at the time. We weren't a level 3 trauma center. This was, you know, just the main hospital, the only hospital in Lake Havasu. So we called the orthopedic surgeon or whoever was the traumatic surgeon on call, come in and help, you know, put those toes back on. If we believed at the time that we couldn't save any of the appendages, if we believe the damage to the tissue and the nerves was so bad that the foot couldn't heal, that's when the surgeon and the family would have to make the decision of to go further. One of the reporters had asked the doctor, how do you talk to a patient about having an amputation? How do you? And he had said last night, you know, look, the amputations we were doing were the ones that were life-saving. So there really wasn't a big sit-down, long discussion. We had to save their life. They were bleeding out. This was something that those were the ones that were done to save the life. Then these other ones, these are the ones where there's going to be that sit-down. There's going to be counseling. There's going to be not a lot of time could be spent with this, obviously. But that's when you could do more processing of it. From what I understand, they set up tents and you know, when these hospitals prepare like they need to, when they prepare, I mean, they usually have especially somebody like Massachusetts General Brigham Women's. I mean, these guys, they already have their disaster plans. They have security. They have their communication lines up. They already know how to get in touch with local, national resources. They have media relations. It blew my mind that they already had the publicist ready and able to help the doctor, deal with the interview. Doctor did a great job, but some of the questions had to go to the public relations person. You need to have one of those. You may think, wait a second, you need blood, you need supplies, but people want answers. Their loved ones are there. You don't want chaos in a hospital. If a hospital can't go to the media and give answers on what's going on and show that, you know, everyone's calm, collected, we got this handled, you could start having riots, chaos. So you do need media relations. People forget how important that is. You know, when Tupac Shakur was shot, he was still alive when he came to the hospital, and I was on that night. And our hospital had to prepare for if the assailants wanted to finish the job. So you also need to have a plan on how to protect your staff while this is going on. Don't go away. 1-877-DOCDALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. Hey, everybody. Dr. Dahlia here. Now listen up. It is time for the Dr. Dahlia Alaskan Cruise. Leaving June 28th out of Seattle, Washington, we will cruise up the gorgeous Inside Passage of Alaska for the most amazing week of your life, returning July 5th. Now, the ship we are taking is the exquisite Celebrity Solstice. And as we go up Alaska's Inside Passage, we're going to visit Ketchikan, Tracy Arm Fjord, Juneau, Skagway, and, of course, Victoria, British Columbia. Now, when you take a Dr. Dahlia cruise, what else happens? Well, we got parties, we got prizes, and the most amazing classes. So book your cabin now by visiting my website at www.drdahlia.com. That's drdahlia.com. Or call 702-279-5035. That's 702-279-5035. Come on, guys. Let's go cruising.
Virtually anyone could be tracking you right now through your cell phone. The fact is, anyone can track your calls, your texts, emails, your every movement, but only if they can detect a signal.
That's the new warning from the American Civil Liberties Union. It's just released the results of an investigation that found law enforcement agencies across the country track personal cell phones on a regular basis as a form of surveillance.
That's why you need Block It Pocket. Block It Pocket is a standard or custom designed cloth pocket infused with pure silver that creates a complete Faraday enclosure for any mobile device. With Block It Pocket, all incoming and outgoing signals are blocked, including harmful radiation, and your device cannot be hacked or tracked by anyone. Handmade in the USA, Block It Pocket costs less than $30 and ships free to the lower 48. Call 888-315-9618 or click Block It Pocket, spelled BlockItPocket.com. Block It Pocket, enhancing health and privacy.
Introducing a 30-day emergency food supply for only $99. At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can purchase Oregon Trail Foods' one-month supply of high-quality, nutritious, and healthy emergency meals for less than $100. These vegetarian meals are natural, high in carbs and protein, and are packed with oxygen absorbers and Mylar pouches. They take up to 70% less space than number 10 cans, have a 20-year shelf life, and huge portions, over twice the serving size of some competitors' meals. Oregon Trail Foods and 30dayfoodsupply.com keep prices low by buying direct from producers in Oregon and then pass the savings on to you. Purchase a 30-day, 90-serving emergency food supply for only $99 this month, and $10 ships your entire order to the lower 48. Call 541-673-6666 or visit 30dayfoodsupply.com, where they make preparedness affordable. 30dayfoodsupply.com. Got it? Get it. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com.
For those who know the benefits of silver, for those who know the healing history of silver, and for those who want to be prepared, now there's Silver Gauze, a nylon elastic wrap with silver bonded to each individual fiber. Silver Gauze is a long-lasting, washable, and reusable must-have for any emergency kit. Get yours today at silvergauze.com, spelled silver, G-A-U-Z-E.com. Silver Gauze is what your emergency kit is missing.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
All right, guys, we are back on the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DAHLIA, 1-877-DOC-DALI. Big thanks to Genesis Communications Network for making the show happen. Big thanks to Don working the dials. And a big thanks to you all for tuning in. Please follow us on Twitter, Dr. Dahlia, and on Facebook, the Dr. Dahlia Show. So, you know, I can't stress enough how much I want you guys to have CPR, some sort of basic life support training. I think it is crucial. You know, we talk about CPR. And I, you know, give you guys tidbits because obviously Dr. Dahlia can't train you all in CPR. Training you all in CPR is, you know, sometimes an 8-hour course, and you guys need the dummy and you need to be able to work on the dummy and get the feel, okay? But, you know, every now and then when I could give you guys tips on what to do, it's crucial. But if I could give you any advice, long-term advice, number one is take your own course, you know, for CPR and basic life support and first aid. You know, first aid courses do teach you a lot of times how to deal with the amputation, but on your own, learn some of the anatomy. Okay? And if you want, you can kind of practice on your family members, you know, where's the pulses, where's, the, you know, like for example, because when we, you know, talk about, all right, you know, seeing this scene that happened, this horrible scene in Boston, and, you know, you saw people jump to the rescue and start putting belts around people, you know, some of you were asking, well, where do you put the belt? Where do you go? What do you do? All right? I want to know. I want to jump in. I'm not afraid of blood. Let me jump in. What do I do? Where do I go with this? So just know some basic anatomy. Usually with your arms, what you're going to be trying to do is cutting off the blood supply of the brachial artery. You're going to be trying to tourniquet that. So when you have an arm amputation, whether it be with the hand, whether it be with the forearm, elbow, you usually would go to, go to the closest arteries to that area. So, I mean, I should probably say, like, I mean, if you cut off a finger and you're bleeding from the finger, you would probably be trying to put pressure on the finger, okay? You're not gonna, you know, tourniquet, you know, a whole arm for a finger. If you can't control the bleeding, then you need to go up above the wrist, try to put some pressure on the radial arteries, ulnar arteries. Try to put some pressure on that. And, you know, it needs to be tight. It needs to be tight enough till the bleeding stops. Okay, some of you go, do I wait till the hand turns completely blue? Do I wait till we say it has to be tight enough till you are sure that the bleeding stops? Then, if you had to go higher up, it would be the brachial artery. And when you look at images and anatomical pictures of these you know, charts showing your vascular system, they show that the brachial artery goes nice down the center. Some of you can probably feel your biceps. I sometimes can feel the pulse, right? You know, under my biceps. I don't really have a lot of biceps, but you would probably grossly tourniquet that area in the mid-upper arm. And again, you see if that controls the bleeding. So you would be, again, just have an idea of what your anatomy is and where you would go. You want to make sure you don't cut off the wrong artery. I mean, again, because if somebody's bleeding, you're losing a lot of volume and you're losing it quickly. So you need to make these decisions quickly. But you usually go, you know, about, you usually go to the body part above in the soft area. You don't want to hurt the bone. If there's a risk of traumatic amputation, because you could see an open fracture where the bone is coming out of the skin, etc., you're not going to tourniquet there. You're going to tourniquet higher. Okay, just go to the softer, healthier area. It's more important for you to save that person's life than to worry about the vascularization of the tissues right then and there. If the person's bleeding out, you got to stop it. Okay, now if the person isn't bleeding, then you cover up the area until EMS can arrive and you cover up that open area, something clean if you can, or just don't touch it. If you don't think you have anything clean to cover it up, if they're not bleeding, just don't touch it. But you want to keep that limb elevated so you don't have blood by dependent gravity coming out. When you look at the legs, we usually think of the femoral artery as the big artery going down the legs. The femoral arteries break off the iliac arteries. When you have the aorta that comes out of the heart, you have the aorta. Then it comes down at the iliac crest area or the start of the pelvic area. You got your iliac arteries. Those are a lot harder for you to on the field or out in the middle of a street block. So the iliac arteries, you got the common, and then you got the external, internal, etc., and then you have your femoral arteries break off from that. After the femoral arteries, then it goes down into the popliteal arteries near the knee. So you would probably be, if you had a pretty nasty lower leg amputation, you would probably be putting the belt or putting your jacket tied very tightly around the femoral area, your thigh area, in the thigh. And you could feel the femoral artery pulse up near the groin, near that crevice. You know where you would get jock itch? You could kind of feel your femoral pulse. But you see, when you're healthy, do that. Check your pulses. Not while you're driving, of course, but know where your pulses are, just so you know, get a feel and you know your anatomy. There's nothing more important than knowing your body and therefore knowing somebody else's body. It's just very hard for you to go up to somebody else and try to feel their femoral pulse. They'll smack you upside the head. So, if you have a foot type of injury, foot amputation, you may get away with blocking the anterior tibial, posterior tibial artery. All right? That would then require you around the, you got your thigh and then you got your calf. That would probably, I apologize if I'm stammering a little bit trying to explain this. I'm using my hands and you guys can't see what I'm doing. But then you would be tourniqueting the calf area, basically, for a lower amputation than that. Again, rule of thumb is you go past and many inches past where the disease is or where the situation is. So, you know, when we look at first aid and rules for first aid, remember, a lot of these are given in a most ideal setting. Like, for example, you want to wash your hands with soap and water. You want to put on gloves, okay? But here's the thing. If you don't have gloves, there are some things, makeshift, that you could do in the middle of the field. Like, for example, you could take a plastic bag. If there's a clean cloth, if you think your hands are dirty, then boundary them with a clean cloth or something, okay? Because infection could kill the traumatic amputee if the bleeding doesn't. So it's extremely important to kind of be aware of that. But if you're too busy looking around for something, oh no, and they're bleeding out, no, just jump in. Make sure any injured person is lying down. I know a lot of you are thinking that's common sense, but think about it. Many of them are going to be sitting up, looking at their leg, looking at the body part, freaking out. Some of them are going to be trying to be moving from the scene. Keep in mind, in this particular scene with Boston, there was a bomb, then another one a block down. How do you know if another one wasn't going to go off? So if you think you're not in a safe area, yes, you can't be a victim. Your victim can't be another victim. You want to move to a safe area. But if they've had any neck injuries, head injuries, you can't risk it. You need to keep them in one place. Now, make sure you elevate the site that is bleeding, whether it's the arm, whether it's the leg. If there are any visible objects in the wound, like let's say there's a dirty rock, etc., a big nasty piece of glass at the tip of it, you could remove it. However, we tell you be very careful about removing any objects. Usually we tell you to leave them, like what happened with the crocodile hunter, Steve Irwin. He could have possibly lived if he left the barb in his heart and then let the surgeons work around it. It's a shame he ripped it out, caused more damage. But they say if there's something obviously dirty that's sitting there in the wound, you know, that you could take out as you're trying to assess the wound, you know, rocks, etc., anything easily to remove, etc. You're going to need to cut the clothing around the area so you have a better visualization. The clothing can actually be a hamper on what you're able to visualize. So you're going to have to rip that stuff away, tear it off, because you also need to see what the extent of the damage is. Then you want to apply steady, direct pressure. All right. If it's not something that you feel comfortable putting direct pressure on because it's one of these compound amputations, then what you need to do is while the limb is amputated, you need to, I don't know, get your knee under there, leg under there, while you're trying to tourniquet the higher area. We need to avoid shock. Cover the patient up, get them warm, and hopefully EMS arrives. Don't go away. We got a lot more medical news. 1-877-DOCDALI, 1-877-DOCDALI.
Since disaster can strike at any time, you always need to be prepared. And not just with an insurance policy. Superstorm Sandy left thousands of people starving and stranded for weeks. You need to be prepared with an emergency supply of food. Now through April 30th, save up to 25% on freeze-dried food. During the freeze-dry guy mix and match number 10 can sale. Freeze-dried food packed in heavy-duty double-enameled number 10 cans. With over 99% of the oxygen removed, it has the longest shelf life of any food available. Over 25 years. Choose from entrees, meats, vegetables, fruits, and desserts. All made in the USA. Just add hot water, wait 10 minutes, and serve. And a taste absolutely delicious. Free shipping to 48 states. Now through April 30th, save up to 25%. Visit freezedryguy.com. freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. 866-404-3663. Act today. Don't miss out. We'll be right back.
Being prepared against possible food shortages and economic collapse is not complicated. Just remember two words, disaster, stuff. Add.com after those two words and you've got just one site for all your preparedness needs. DisasterStuff.com prepares your family against food shortages with Linden Farms freeze-dried foods in buckets or Gourmet Reserves freeze-dried food in number 10 cans, both with free shipping. Purify and rid your water of contaminants with a Big Berkey or other Berkey system and get free shipping plus a water level spigot or fluoride filter at cost. And protect your radios and other electronics from EMPs with our EMP Faraday bags starting at just $5.90. When the food shortages and economic instability happens, be ready with all your stuff from DisasterStuff.com. Just remember two words, DisasterStuff.com. Freedom through self-reliance and personal responsibility.
What's next? If you're not prepared, you're not self-reliant. Join us in Texas for the Self-Reliance Expo, Friday and Saturday, April 26th and 27th. Learn self-reliant skills, including food and water storage, emergency power, beekeeping, canning, and much more. Look, feel, touch, and taste at this family-friendly event. Many guest speakers, longevity information, and Dr. Joel Wallach speaks on Saturday. Don't miss the Self-Reliance Expo, Arlington Convention Center, Arlington, Texas, April 26th and 27th. Tickets and schedule at selfrelianceexpo.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, and lead strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of world wide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Springtime is sale time at Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big and stock up at HerbalHealer.com. New customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's spring specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. CoQ10 with Hawthorn, Colon Enhancer, Sea Cucumber, Super Fam and Super Male Plex, plus Glucosamine Chondroitin, our best-selling liquid CalMag Vitamin D, and our colloidal minerals, all on sale for spring at HerbalHealer.com. And Herbal Healer also offers certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at HerbalHealer.com.
Back on the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOCDALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. Please follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dahlia and on Facebook, The Dr. Dahlia Show. Of course, our hearts are with all the victims in the Boston Marathon bombing and their families. And we are just extremely Exhilarated at the thought that EMS workers and innocent bystanders and the community had just jumped in to rush and help, and now the nation, and the phenomenal work they did on the scene to help save lives. And they did save lives. Many people with absolutely no medical experience at all have been credited with saving their Americans' lives by doing some simple first aid steps. So this hour, we had reviewed, you know, what the hospitals do, how they triage, what currently is going on with the current patients, and then we were reviewing what you would do in a severe amputation. One of you over the break wanted me to review what do you do if you cut your finger off in your own house. We'll quickly tie that in if we can, because many of us, my son was working with a box cutter, cut his finger yesterday. Thank God it wasn't deep, but it happens. I amputations happen, whether you amputate or you cut deep enough to cause an amputation. But as we were talking about out on the field, you know, as you're lying them down, as you're elevating the limb that was affected by the blast, remember, blast injuries can cause not only cuts, but also the pressure of it can cause bone fractures and multiple bone fractures. And then the bone fragments and the pieces of the bone fragment. I had taken care of a patient in Lake Havasu. I told you guys a story where two kids ran into each other on their jet skis or Sea-Doos in Lake Havasu on spring break. One we had to ship to Phoenix because he had a compound femur fracture. Pretty dangerous stuff because you could bleed out with that. And then the other one had a lot of cuts and scrapes. But I wanted to x-ray and make sure that his femur was fine. Well, his femur looked good, but there was the femur's the big bone in your thigh. But there was this big, huge, triangular piece of bone next to the femur. So I called the orthopedic doctor. I'm like, something's not right. We got a CT. I need to know where this bone came from. And then we were like, wait a second. And so we called and we called the other hospital. We decided we're going to extract that bone and have a DNA test. And our guess was that bone was from the other kid, the other 19-year-old who had run into him. I mean, when these compound fractures happen with such force with the bone, you could have a bone chip go into somebody else. I mean, the force, it's like with anything else, tornado, etc. So, you know, you need to be aware that all these different issues can be going on. But then also you need to be aware, too, that there could be glass. There could be very pointed, sharp bone fragments. So as you see these first aid kits and these first aid instructions tell you to remove anything you can from the any visible objects in the wound that are easy to remove. You need to be careful because we don't want you getting cut. You being cut now slows down the rescue process. Not to mention now you become a victim. First thing we always teach you is never become a victim yourself. Whether it's in a fire, whether it's an electrocution injury, etc., you need to make sure that you don't become a victim yourself. So you got the patient lying down, you got the site elevated, you have been applied steady pressure on an area. If that doesn't seem to work, then you need to, I mean, some people go, well, how do you know? If the blood soaks through the cloth, you apply another one without lifting the first. Don't change out the cloth because you don't want to tear any of the clotting factors that are already coming into work. Remember, little micro layers are starting to form at these sites. The body has platelets, they have these clotting cascades, and it immediately moves in at the site of bleeding. Unfortunately, if the flow is too strong, the physical pressures can push the scaffold that's trying to grow out of the way. But if you have already some sort of pressure and you already have a cloth on there, you sometimes notice the cloth starts to stick to the wound because these platelets, these things are very sticky. All right, don't remove that cloth because you're going to remove some of the damage. You add the next cloth on top and you keep laying as you're doing a direct pressure contact, one above the other. Okay, now if there is an object in the wound, like let's say there's a pole or something or a pipe, and then you don't want to put the pressure on top and push it in. You put the pressure around. It's a little difficult because sometimes you have to come up with a circular pattern, but you would basically with two hands put the pressure around the area where you already have the metal object. We had somebody come in bleeding pretty badly, pretty bad femur injury. And I was trying to sew him up, and I couldn't stop bleeding. But we had gotten surgically. He didn't need to go into trauma surgery, but this was a wound where he had a little brachial that kept, you know, going. And so rather than tourniqueting him, what it is, I took the biggest ass suture I could find. I just throw a big anchor suture in, tie it off. And for some reason, it was enough to stop the bleeding. Then I could sew the smaller areas because I had now a nice, clean, workable space. Nothing is bleeding into the area. By the time I got done with the little areas at the end, I removed the stitch to see if, boom, any active bleeding. And, boom, I was able to finish the repair. And that's what you do. You say boom. We use boom a lot. All right. So, if the moderate to severe bleeding has not slowed down or stopped, you gotta continue the direct pressure, or you need to then do what you started to see these other people do on the scene, start to tourniquet. And we talked about where to tourniquet. Now, again, we need to watch for shock. While your patient is lying down, you need to talk to them. You need to see where they're at. And the reason why is because if they do pass out, or let's say go into a heart rhythm or their heart stops because of the shock, you may have to institute CPR. Okay? And so while you're tourniqueting and looking and watching everything else, don't forget to keep talking to the patient. Keep the patient alert so you know what's going on. If they start to pass out, you got to check for a pulse, check for breathing, and institute CPR, as we've taught you on previous shows. Other signs that the patient could be going into shock could be they start shaking, they could be dizzy, lightheaded, weak, starting to sound confused, mumbling, less alert. And also, you know, emotionally. I mean, you know, we used to pass out when we'd, you know, hear, you know, shocking things. I'm sure something like this could cause a person to go into psychological shock. As long as you feel a good, steady pulse and they're breathing, you know, you could still work on the wound. Now, what happens if you cut off a finger? Okay, what do you do with the piece? So let's say this is in your house, etc. Well, you usually like to rinse off the dirt and the debris if you can. At this point, you know, rinsing it off, it shouldn't hurt. The finger already was cut off, etc. You don't want to scrub because, again, you've got very healthy, delicate tissue like nerves and vessels that have to be reattached. But what you want to do is you want to wrap it up in a sterile gauze or clean cloth. If you guys don't have sterile gauze, get some. It's sold at Walgreens and Walmart. Make sure you have something, like, you know, something sterile or something, because a lot of these claws, you know, my kids use it to wipe their boogers or they fall on the ground. I would hate to have an amputated finger stuck in that. Then you wrap the part in a plastic bag or a waterproof container, and then you put the bag on the ice. You don't want the ice on the finger. You want the plastic bag or the waterproof container on ice, okay? All right? You just want to keep it cool. This is if you have a patient that's healthy enough where you could, you know, drive them to the hospital. You want to make sure that the area that had the amputation of the finger is elevated. You want to make sure that you were able to stop the bleeding. You want to cover the area with a sterile dressing, clean cloth, etc., and immediately get them to the hospital. If you don't know what you're doing, obviously call 911. So what we did today was a pretty rapid review of some basic first aid and some more advanced type of first aid on what to do with amputations. Again, thankfully, many of you already know this. I urge you, though, to get a real honest-to-God class under your belt, okay, and some training that you could do. As we move into the next hour, we're going to be talking about some of the latest medical news, like how a resting high heart rate could put you at higher risk for heart disease, how we need to make sure you guys know your heart rates. So don't go away. We'll be right back. Plus your calls. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY.
Ceramic body armor is rated to stop six hits. But what about the seventh? Unlike ceramic or Kevlar, Infidel body armor is proven to take hit after hit, and it just won't quit. Reasonably priced and designed for the smart civilian prepper, Infidel stops hundreds of hits from small arms to high-powered rifles. That means safety and peace of mind. Buy yours at InfidelBodyArmor.com. Spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric,
engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Your freedoms are on the line. The Second Amendment is in danger. How soon before your freedoms are taken away? What can you not live without? What is your greatest dependency? Is it your guns? Is it your home? No, it's food. It all boils down to the food supply. Tyrannical governments control people by controlling their food supply. Don't be dependent. Be self-sufficient. Don't wait for the government to feed you. Feed yourself. I can warn you, but I can't feed you. Do like Alex has done and get a supply of food from eFoods Direct. It's the best long-term storable food on the planet. Get the popular Mega Patriot Pack free, a 24-day supply of food plus stove, cook pot, and fuel. Call 800-250-1857 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and get up to 20 Mega Patriot Packs free with purchase. Build your food supply, be in control, be self-sufficient, and be a patriot. Call 800-250-1857 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and get your free Patriot Pack today.